This morning's reading is from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, and verses 1 to 10. All the people assembled as one man in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gates in the presence of the men, women and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra the scribe stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattithiah, Shema, Hananiah, Uriah, Hilkiah, and Maaseiah. And on his left were Pedaiah, Mishael, Malkijah, Hashem, Hashbadanah, Zechariah, and Meshulam. Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, Amen and Amen. Then they bowed down and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. The Levites, Jeshua, Hanai, Benai, Sherebiah, Jamin, Akub, Shabbatai, Hodiah, Maaseiah, Kelitah, Azariah, Jozabad, Hanan, and Pelaiah instructed the people in the law while the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, This day is sacred to the Lord, your God. Do not mourn or weep, for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the Lord. Nehemiah said, Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Tom. I think that says a round of applause, actually. I did say, Tom, if you wanted to kind of leave those verses out, that's okay. I didn't want to just put that on you. So, it's my joy to be back again with you this morning. And I picked this particular passage, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I think this talks about joy. There's some secrets in here about joy that it can teach us today about joy. And I want to try and bring that to you this morning. And the book of Nehemiah, we see all through this book the goodness of God. And in this particular chapter, chapter 8, we see that the Lord wants his people to have joy. So, we're going to look at three things this morning. First, what does it actually mean, joy of the Lord? Secondly, what actually is joy? And thirdly, how do we find it? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. So, Nehemiah chapter 8. The people of God had returned to Jerusalem after 70 years in exile in Babylon. They were taken off to Babylon and they came back. And this is a momentous moment in their history. And the book of the law, these are the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It had been lost. All that time in exile, they didn't have it. And they came back to Jerusalem and one of the priests found this book of the law in the temple of God, the word of God for his people. This book had been lost and now it had been found. And this brought great joy. Verse 1 says, All the people came together as one people. And Ezra, the teacher of the law, brought out this book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded them. And he read it from daybreak until noon. Can you imagine that? That's some prayer meeting, isn't it? Or some gathering there. He read it from daybreak till noon, and all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. And Ezra praised the Lord and great God, and all the people lifted their hands and they responded, Amen, Amen. And here there's a picture of Israel worshipping in spirit and truth. In spirit because the Lord is with them, and in truth because they've got the word of God. And it says here that the people wept as they listened. They were overcome with emotion as they heard the word of God, as they were in the presence of God. Some commentators say that as they heard the words of the book of God, they realized that their lifestyles were very, very different to what had been commanded to God's people. And some say that they wept as they realized that they had been living in a way that wasn't good. Nehemiah and the governor and Ezra the priest taught the people and said, This day is holy to the Lord. Go and enjoy food and drinks. Go and share those to people that don't have anything. Give some of your foods to them. This is a holy day to our Lord. So don't be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. And there it is. There it is. The secret to having joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So firstly, what does it actually mean? The joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, in the Vulgate Bible, one of the earliest Bible, it's in Latin, and the word here for joy is gaudere, gaudere. It means to be glad, and it means to rejoice. So the joy of the Lord means to be glad, and the joy of the Lord means to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength also means that God's word through the Holy Spirit is our help and our support. That when we need that help and support, his word through the Spirit provides that to us. And this word for strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength, can also be translated, the joy of the Lord is our stronghold. Takes us away to a place that is safe. The joy of the Lord is our stronghold, our refuge, our fortress and our protection. It takes us and it protects us against whatever grieves us, whatever makes us sad. The joy of the Lord is our fortress and protection. So we learn from this that the joy of the Lord is the joy the Lord gives. Joy of the Lord is the joy the Lord gives. Secondly, what actually is joy? I was thinking about in my life, there's not that many times I can think of times I've felt really joyful. One of them is when I married Val, my wife. That's a really joyful day. But how do we actually define what joy is? Well, the dictionary says that it's a feeling of great pleasure or happiness. But I think it's more than happiness. I think it's more than an emotion that we feel. The Bible tells us that joy, the Greek word, is chara. It means to live with an awareness of the favour and pleasure of God. The grace and favour of God. To walk around knowing that the grace and favour of God is with you. That's what the Bible says joy is. And in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for joy is a word called simcha. Simcha means the blessedness that the Lord enjoys around the throne of God in heaven. Can you imagine that joy? That amount of joy the Lord enjoys around the throne of God. In the New Testament, Jesus teaches us about joy. There's many parables about joy. Luke 15 says, we find the shepherd who finds the lost sheep. And that brought him a lot of joy. We find the bride who's searching for the coin in her wedding band. She's lost it. And she finds the coin and that brings her great joy. And we also see the father who welcomes home the lost son. And he goes running towards him to embrace him. And here there is a picture of God's love for all of us. And we see from this passage that joy doesn't come from us. Joy comes to us. And even before Jesus was born, he brought joy. In Luke 1, Luke tells us that Mary is pregnant with Jesus. And she goes to meet her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. And as they meet, the baby, John, in Elizabeth's womb, jumps for joy in the presence of Jesus in Mary's womb. And when Jesus is born, we read that the angels announce the good news and great joy for all people. Last year, I was a minister in training at the Lighthouse Cafe in Great Grandston. I was working with the artist and evangelist Chris Duffett. And one of the things I was doing is I was bringing people along to the cafe to encounter it and to see what a fresh expression of church could look like. And a friend of mine who I worked with, a lady called Karen, wanted to see what the Lighthouse Cafe was like. And as she entered the cafe, which is a church cafe, she was overwhelmed. She felt like she wanted to start crying. As she entered this room and it's like, wow, there's just such an amazing atmosphere in this place. And there was a noticeable, tangible air of the presence of God in this building. You could feel it. And it was an overwhelming sense of love and peace and joy. And I said to Chris, do you feel that? And he said, yeah, I do. And it was just the most incredible thing. And I said to Karen, you've just experienced the Holy Spirit. God wants his people to share in his delight. He prayed that his joy would be in you and that your joy would be complete. And so we are to look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. And afterwards, he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was this joy set before him? It's you. You are the joy set before Jesus that enabled him to endure the cross for you. You are his joy. Last year, I was praying one day, and the Lord revealed to me, as I'm praying, that I endure life and I don't always enjoy it. I endure my life and I don't always enjoy it. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's right. I hadn't realised that. A lot of the time I'm just enduring life. Life is a gift and I'm just enduring it, not enjoying it. But when I encounter the Lord, I experience joy. When I become angry or impatient or critical or fearful, it means I've lost the joy of the Lord. So what is stopping us from having more joy? And I thought about this often. I'm just too busy. I let other things get in the way. Secondly, a focus on material possessions can block joy. The great enemy of joy is self-centeredness and pride. It focuses inwards. And disappointment and bitterness can rob us of the joy and stop us from experiencing God's pleasure. So thirdly, how can we find joy? Well, I think looking at this passage, there's a key. There's a key, and there's 7 points I want to make here. The first is, we need to discover the Lord's purpose for you. So Nehemiah, his purpose was to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And he did it in 52 days. And this just shows what we can do when we are working in alignment with God's will for us. And Nehemiah was also rebuilding a nation. Psychologists say that joy is doing something significant with your life. Nehemiah definitely did this. But I think, for me, joy is that inner sense of knowing that we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And when we do that, we feel joy. Second point, in this passage, we see that joy comes through fellowship with believers, joining with one another. Joy comes through worshipping and understanding God's word and then applying it to our lives. Joy comes through serving and helping other people and sharing what we have. And isn't it true that there's more joy in giving than receiving? And nothing releases joy in our lives than when we bless other people, when we do something to help them. Isn't that true? In verse 9, we saw the people wept at God's word. And this is my third point. We see that joy comes through repentance and forgiveness, of turning back to God. 4 years ago, I had an argument with another Christian. And we both said stuff we probably shouldn't have said. It got a bit heated. And the next morning, I woke up and I was full of godly sorrow. I was so sorry for what I'd said and what I'd done, and so disappointed that I let it get that far. And I got on my knees and I just said, Lord, I'm just really sorry. Forgive me. And you know what? I experienced the Lord minister to me. My tears turned to joy as I felt deep inside I'd been forgiven. And then we made up, me and my friend. Repentance brings joy. Turning back to God brings joy, and it removes sin and guilt and shame. Next, in verse 10, we see the people were rejoicing because God had saved them. And this is my fourth point. There's a joy in salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul says, "For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not by yourselves, it's a gift of God. And this is not by your works, so that none of us can boast." Jesus said, "Rejoice, your names are written in heaven." And this should bring joy. In verse 6, we see the people are in God's presence. And this is my fifth point, that joy comes through spending time with God. Julian of Norwich, a 13th century mystic, wrote, "Our soul will never ever find rest until it recognises that Jesus is the fullness of joy. He is full of bliss and life itself." So this made me think that it's not about a question of what gives me joy, what gives us joy. It's who gives joy. Joy comes in a relationship with Jesus Christ and understanding that you are chosen, that you are loved, that you are adopted as sons and daughters of the King. You are heirs to the kingdom. And you are holy and blameless before God. And this inheritance can never perish, spoil, or fade away. It's guaranteed. This should bring joy. And as we live and as we work for God, don't be surprised if opposition comes. In the book of Nehemiah, he's ridiculed, he's intimidated, he's slandered, and he's threatened. And he carried on. He refused to let the people against him upset him. What did he do? He prayed even more. And he became even more vigilant. And he got the walls completed. But this shows us the sixth point. Joy of the Lord comes in the trials of life. And the key thing here is to recognise God's hand in all of this, even in the really difficult times. And I looked as an example in Acts 16. Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they're sitting in the jail. And they're sitting in stocks. They've been arrested without any cause. They've been beaten without a trial. And at midnight, they're singing. They're singing psalms and they're really happy. They're full of joy in this jail. It seems a bit mad, doesn't it? And then a miracle happens, an earthquake comes, and the doors of the jail open. And the jailer's worried because he thinks he's going to lose all the prisoners. And Paul says, it's okay, we're still here. And the amazing thing happened that this jailer and his whole family come to know the Lord through this miracle. This reminds me of Habakkuk 3:18, who writes, "Yet I will still rejoice in the Lord in spite of all my difficulties and all the circumstance I find myself in. I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in the God of my salvation. God, my Saviour." And Habakkuk tells us something interesting here. He says joy, he suggests joy is a choice. But I recognise not all of us are feeling joy. Some of us are going through really difficult times at the moment. And you know, Nehemiah means the Lord will comfort. His name means the Lord will comfort. So I want to pray right now for anyone here, anyone listening who's going through a really tough time. I pray the Lord Jesus come and comfort you right now, and that you will know the joy of his presence. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this Philippian jail, there's Paul and there's Silas. Paul knew that his circumstances didn't determine his joy. He suffered greatly, but he knew in whom he was to be content. He knew the troubles would be momentary, that they would pass eventually. And Paul also knew that God was in control of his life, that ultimately, in the end, everything would be okay. Paul knew that one day, God would again dwell with his people on earth. And this is the seventh and final point I want to make. The joy of the Lord is in Jesus coming again. In Matthew 25:21, Jesus talks about the king having returned, saying to his servants, "Well done, good and faithful servants, enter into the joy of your master." And here there's a picture for me of heaven, of meeting with Jesus. The first time he came was to deal with our sins, to pay for all of our sins, so we don't have to pay for them ourselves. The second time Jesus comes are to save all of us who are waiting for him. So let's be ready for him. When Jesus returns, can you imagine the joy at meeting him face to face, for seeing him? Incredible joy. And there'd be no more death, there'd be no more sorrow, there'd be no more crying, and there'd be no more pain. For everlasting joy will remain. In verse 9, Nehemiah said, "Be still, this is a holy day." And then all the people go and they eat and they celebrate and they drink and they go and give food to somebody who doesn't have any food. And they celebrate with great joy because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. As Ezra read the book of God's law and instructed the people, and then they went and celebrated. They celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles, a festival of thanksgiving that followed the Day of Atonement. And they were celebrating that God will restore all things and one day he will dwell with his people on earth. So what does this passage mean for us today? Well, I think there's two things. We can reflect on it and we can remember certain things from it. And we can thank God for his provision and for his presence in our lives. And we can remember that he is our stronghold, our security, and he is our source of joy. So in conclusion, Nehemiah 8 tells us the secret to a joy-filled life. That joy doesn't depend on us or our circumstances. Joy comes in our calling. Joy comes in fellowship with others. Joy comes in worship. It comes in forgiveness and repentance. It comes in our salvation. It comes in spending time with God. It comes even in the trials of life. And it comes when Jesus comes again. Joy comes in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Joy comes from abiding in God's presence. And joy comes from hoping in his word So this year, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, I say, and delight yourself in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you actually rejoice over us with gladness. We thank you that you provide for us. We thank you that your presence is with us and will never leave us. We thank you, Lord, for being our stronghold and source of joy. And I just want to pray for all the people here right now that this will be a peaceful and joyful year. I pray, Lord, that everyone will find their comfort and strength in you. And I ask you, Lord, to fill this room, all the people, all your church with joy. And Lord, I ask, restore the joy of your salvation to us, I pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.